Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to President's Day 2020. I'm Larry Richard, and joining me on our Disc Institute, a Pittsburgh Newsline broadcast legend and presidential history aficionado, Lanny Fratteri, who has spent 11 seasons at Waynesburg College. Professor, good morning.
Thank you, Larry. Thanks very much for asking me. Aficionado, definition of that word, is very knowledgeable and enthusiastic about a subject. I am enthusiastic about presidential history. I'm not sure I'm all that knowledgeable about it, but I certainly love studying the presidents, and I, as we've talked before, it's something that I've shared with my son and now with my grandchildren.
If you had one of the presidential libraries to say this is something you must put on your list, whose would it be?
I'd recommend reading a lot of books about Lincoln. As a matter of fact, I just finished reading for a second time a book called Lincoln's Sword. I know, Larry, you and I are both individuals that love going out and being a part of banquets, and not everybody in our business, by the way, loves doing that, but we do. And at Waynesburg University, not only have I taught broadcasting courses, but I've also had the chance to teach a few courses on public speaking. And the book Lincoln's Sword, subtitled The Presidency and the Power of Words, is written by Douglas Wilson. And interestingly enough, Wilson points out in the book that initially, when Lincoln became president or was on his way to become president, a skeptic writer asked, "Who will write this ignorant man's state papers?" And yet, we've learned over the years and through history books, etc., that Lincoln was a tremendous writer and wrote two of the most endearing speeches in the history of this great country, the Gettysburg Address and the second inaugural address, and he also penned many significant letters and other speeches. He believed that through his pen he could change and shape public opinions about the issues of the day, which of course during Lincoln's administration, 1861 to 1865, were about the Civil War and about slavery.
So I would imagine, and there are a lot of people who are just absolutely fascinated with President Lincoln in particular, but you have studied a lot of them, and a lot of presidential speeches don't rise to the level of the Gettysburg Address, but nonetheless are historical, and you have some notes on those.
Yeah, the count, the Gettysburg Address, about 272 words. And the old fallacy, and remember when you and I were going through school, we heard two myths. Number one, that Lincoln chopped down a cherry tree, and that when his father asked him about it, he didn't lie about it. The other thing was that Lincoln, he wrote the Gettysburg Address on the back of an envelope while he was riding in a train from Washington to Gettysburg. And a couple years ago, Gary Wills wrote a book called Lincoln at Gettysburg, subtitled The Words That Remade America. And Wills points out, and even the Wilson book about Lincoln's Sword points out, that Lincoln cared too much about the process of writing letters and speeches to have done something that the myth implies that he did. The Gettysburg Address was a speech that Lincoln had been thinking about for a long, long time. And, to me, probably the most significant lines, and there are so many in the Gettysburg Address that I find somewhat ironic that Lincoln said that day, "The world will little note nor long remember what we say here, but it cannot forget what they did here." And yet, it is considered by many to be one of the greatest, if not the greatest, speeches in American history. And as I said again, you know, I said 272 words. It didn't take Lincoln very long. He didn't spend a lot of time delivering the speech. As a matter of fact, when he finished, historians have said that the audience was not sure that he was done at that point, and so consequently, the response to his speech that day at Gettysburg wasn't considered all that impressive. But it certainly has lasted has survived the test of time. Certainly,
we're with Lanny Fritteri, and Lanny, some other presidents who you thought were great orators or had significant speeches.
Well, you're not going to be surprised to hear me say John Kennedy. In addition to the Lincoln second inaugural, which was a tremendous speech and came, you know, not too much before Lincoln was assassinated at Ford's Theater. The Kennedy address, there are a large number of us that were alive at that time when President Kennedy was in office and took the oath of office on January 20th, 1961, you know, remember some of the more memorable lines that came out of that speech. The torch has been passed to a new generation of Americans. Ask not what your country can do for you, but ask what you can do for your country. Of that speech, my favorite lines, and by the way, Thornton Clark wrote a book about the Kennedy inaugural and points out that there's new evidence which introduces JFK had more to do with his speech. You know, much of the criticism about John Kennedy has been that Ted Sorensen, you know, had so much to do with Profiles in Courage, and that Sorensen wrote all of Kennedy's speeches, but historians have now found out that Kennedy had a lot to do with his own inaugural speech. My favorite lines from that speech is, "I do not believe that any of us would exchange places with any other people or any other generation. The energy, the faith, the devotion which we bring to this endeavor will light our country and all who serve it, and the glow from that fire can truly light the world." Those are my favorite lines from the Kennedy inaugural.
Did you ever meet a president in all your travels?
No, and I've been in close proximity. Matter of fact, you know, my good friend Jim Leland, if you ever have a chance to go to Jimmy's house, you'll see that he has a number of pictures of him with presidents. A picture of Jim Leland with Ronald Reagan when Reagan threw out the first pitch at Wrigley Field. Jim Leland has a picture of himself with George H.W. Bush when President Bush visited the Astrodome one day, the Pirates were playing. Jim Leland, after he won the World Series with the Florida Marlins, one of my favorite stories about Jim is that when President Clinton called Jim Leland to congratulate him on winning the World Series, after a few, you know, a few seconds or so, Jim Leland said, "Okay, Mr. President, thank you, but when are we going to play golf?" And sure enough, a time later, President Clinton's people called Leland and they played golf together. And Jimmy has a picture of that.
Amazing.
And then also Jim has a picture of himself with George Walker Bush, George W. Bush and Laura Bush at a special White House ceremony honoring baseball people. So I've been in close proximity, partially because of my friendship with Jim Leland, but the other quick story, if I've got a moment here, is that when Bill Clinton was campaigning in 1992, he came to Three Rivers Stadium, and we were told that he was going to come up to the broadcast booth, but I was told that he was not to be put on the air. And one of the really awkward moments of my career was that candidate Clinton came into the broadcast booth and he sat down next to Jim Rooker, but I was told not to turn his microphone on, and so it was extremely
awkward.
And he walked in. I mean, he walked into the middle of the inning, so I couldn't say anything to him during a commercial break. And then finally, we went to the commercial break, and I had to tell him that, you know, I was under orders not to put him on the air. So he,
I always
wanted to have the opportunity to meet President Clinton, so I could apologize to him for that. So
well, then you did meet a president. It was just before he became president. That's significant. Well, Lanny, always good to catch up, and keep doing what you're doing at Waynesburg University. And,
yeah, thank you to you, Larry, for coming down to Waynesburg to speak to my students. And as always, anybody that's listening to this show, if you know of some young man or woman who's interested in broadcasting, please send them my way.
Well, you've done a great job. Appreciate it. Enjoy President's Day.
Thank you.
Lanny Fratteri, broadcast legend, and he is presidential aficionado.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.